what effect does clutter have on the brain?
It's actually quite interesting because we can sort of think, oh, you know, this is another cleaning up fad, you know, it's just another thing that's going to go away. But actually, it has quite a number of both psychological and physical effects on us. It can make us more stressed, it can make us anxious, depressed, make poor eating choices, sleep poorly, exercise less, and just be generally less satisfied with life.
Wow, that's quite a lot. That explains a lot about my life, let me tell you. Are the negative effects on our brain relevant with small amounts of clutter, or is it big clutter that really has that impact?
Look, it's certainly a cumulative effect, both in the amount of clutter and the effect on our brain. So, you know, the more that we can sort of see clutter around us, the more that can drain our cognitive resources and sort of deplete our ability to process information and to really concentrate on other things that we need to do.
So if clutter persists for an extended period of time, what kind of emotional effects can this have on an individual?
And there was a really interesting study that was done in the US that showed that the more that the clutter increased in the house and that there were sort of unfinished projects, there was a significant increase in, you know, stress levels, and they tested the stress hormone cortisol amongst mothers in this particular study. And so it can eventually sort of obviously lead to other changes if we're constantly in this fight or flight state that, you know, everything's a battle. We've got to try and find that thing for the accountant or the form for the kids' school. And so we might be at work, but in the back of our mind, you know, we're constantly thinking, oh, where is that? Can I find it? Am I going to have to get on the phone to some department for hours to get a replacement document? And so it puts us in this kind of fight or flight state, which is our basic survival state. And over time, that can cause changes to, you know, our hormone system, our digestion. It can make us more at risk of things like type 2 diabetes and heart disease. So it can certainly have a significant effect.
Wow. Can simply tidying up and practicing ideas like the KonMari method minimize these negative effects? Or does it have to be in conjunction with other things?
Look, obviously there would be other factors as well that can cause all of those types of reactions in people's lives. But, you know, the studies that have been done have shown that there's a relationship between, you know, the less cluttered our lives are and our homes, and because we attach so much importance to home. So if we come home and we feel like, look, my house is chaotic, it's a mess, you know, I can't even have people over because there's just so many piles of paper in the lounge room or, you know, piles of washing and so forth, it makes us less satisfied, you know, with our lives. And so certainly by getting more order where we're not so distracted, we can find things easily, it can have a real effect on our happiness.
So why are so many people jumping on the KonMari method?
Well, I think, it's hard to say, I suppose, to other cleaning methods or tidying methods per se. And I suppose, you know, the success of the show on Netflix and that it, you know, it specifically talks about, you know, sparking joy. And I think the first book was called, you know, The Magic of Tidying Up. And, you know, often when you hear about decluttering, people aren't talking about it being magic and transforming your life and sparking joy.
Yeah, so I think it's just like, do it.
The broader philosophy that she has is to sort of say, look, you know, what have you got in your life that is making you happy and what's making you unhappy? And so, you know, if you've got a whole heap of clutter that's making you unhappy, we'll get rid of that. But also, you know, do the things that you have actually bring satisfaction into your life, or should you revisit that? And I think, you know, the analogy is that people will start to look at, well, look, you know, is my job really the job that I want? Is that, you know, the relationships that perhaps aren't working so well for me? And so it sort of causes people to think about other areas of their life. And, you know, are we just tolerating that ugly couch because we really can't afford a new one? Or, you know, is it something that we've really wanted to replace for years, so we should just get around and do it?
Well, finally, does this method, tidying and minimalism, work for everyone? I know that there's this long stigma of creative people being messy and having to have this, you know, messy creative space where they feel more comfortable and they can express themselves a bit more in it. Is that more of a myth now that these stats have come out?
Oh, look, there are certainly individual differences. And so I think some of these things would hold true for, you know, a lot of people, and we may not be aware of the effect that the clutter is having on us. So we can feel like our filing system is great, you know, I can easily find anything, but actually it's really not as efficient as we think. Mm. But look, in terms of creativity, certainly there have been studies done that show that messy desks can actually help enhance creativity, because it might force us to sort of like look outside of the rules, whereas, you know, a more ordered environment might make us sort of just go along with, you know, the normal process. And there have been famous people who've had messy desks, writers and people like Steve Jobs and lots of others. So it certainly can help creativity, but that might be a trade-off with all of these other areas of our health and our life.
Sure, you can be creative, but type 2 diabetes, yeah. Okay, sure. Well, thank you so much for joining me this morning, Libby.
Pleasure, Alex.